I guess all it takes is me posting one solo episode, and suddenly you're available to partake in an episode.
Well, I also got today off of work, or tonight off of work. I do work third shift right now, so...
Yeah, I didn't share that. I just said you had some other responsibilities. But usually, well, as if we do the podcast a lot, but we try and do it once the kids are in bed because they're impossible to do it with.
Impossible.
So with him working third shift, it literally has been impossible. But
yeah.
But here we are.
We're back.
Inclement weather.
Podcast.
Podcast.
Which sucked doing the farm chores today, but...
Yeah, we got our first snow in like 2 years. It didn't even stick, but it's...
Well, I mean, I wouldn't even really... It's... Okay, sure, snow came out of the sky, but... yeah, it didn't stick. And the worst part is that it dumped rain before that. So we got the whole pastures kind of flooding situation on top of no snow.
Cold, yeah.
Cold, yeah. And then I'm out there and, you know, for those of us that follow how we raise our animals and we do most of it pasture, you know, everything we try to do pasture, fed, like things that turn into meat are pretty much always all pasture, grass raised, except for, you know, meat chickens where, you know, they can't really,
yeah, they can't,
they enjoy the pasture, but unfortunately, like, you know, they're chickens and to raise chickens at that speed for good quality meat, you know, they are eating bugs and everything, but they do get grain fed.
Well, so, any chicken would have to eat, like, they can't just, like,
no, a lot of chickens are free. Well, not a lot.
Well, even free
some
range,
people,
you have to. You're supposed to still...
You should supplement. They're supposed to... If you go back to their original role in society, it's peasants had chickens which ate scraps. Like, people always think the hogs eat scraps, but really, the super poor people, peasants...
Like us.
Their
peasants
chickens,
like us.
their chickens would literally wait to eat scraps that they would throw out. And then, before the scraps would come, they would free range.
Yeah.
So... So our chickens eat grain, obviously, and our pigs, the plan has been to grain feed them, but we're pretty lucky with access to, raw peanuts that don't, whatever they call them, they're throwaway peanuts from the factory. So we get a lot of shelled in peanuts and some that aren't shelled, some that are just straight peanuts that are rejects.
Yeah, so, I wonder what makes them rejects. But, yeah, if you listen to my last podcast, that's...
I listened to it.
Well, I'm not talking to you. I'm talking to the audience. If people out there know... Oh, my God. I'm so glad to have you back. If any of you other than my husband listened to the podcast, that's what Troy was talking about when he said that pigs eat peanuts, because we've been getting peanuts lately. So I almost threw in something because I'm like, a lot of people are probably not going to understand what that means. But
So they got, you know, they eat a lot of peanuts. But what I was trying to say is that since it's super cold and rainy and snowy, and every single lamb on the farm right now is either a breeder or a brand new baby, I like to supplement the lambs, the ewes, while they're getting, because they get drained down by the babies a lot. Mm-hmm. And there's not really green grass to feed them on. Even if we had a ton of land, at this point, once the frost come in, it would kill off the majority of the natural grasses that we have, right? Which we're working on a plan right now to also comment that that's working out really well. But since it was so rainy and snowy and all that, I did make sure to go out there and supplement them, you know, with some extra grain to, you know, get their ruminants really cooking, which makes a lot of more body heat for them, and, you know, make sure to check on them. And instead of peanuts today, the pigs also got a decent amount of grain to go with their peanuts as well. And then we currently have a cow on the farm who won't be here very much longer, but also to, you know, keep him happy and boost it up, he did get a decent amount of grain today as well, which we don't like to do grain on our cattle at all. But there's certain circumstances where, you know,
we just couldn't not right now.
Just to make him a little bit more comfortable and happy. And he's not really supposed to be here.
I didn't talk about that yet.
But yeah, we got a decent deal on him, and he's in good shape and getting tons of grass. We got tons of hay for him. Mm-hmm. So, but just I like when it's super cold to throw them grain, which is like a treat to them.
Mm-hmm.
But it certainly doesn't speak against our practices where throughout the year our lambs don't get grain and cattle never get grain. And pigs will do what we can, you know. Yeah. The pigs aren't ruminants, so it's a little different for them. Feeding them grain all the time it's not bad. It's not frowned upon. Mm-hmm. It's just a question of if you have it or you don't. And I'd much rather feed my pigs, you know, the peanuts, especially because even our grain is, everything we have now is locally sourced. I'm actually going to pick up a ton of hay tomorrow. Mm-hmm. Which I'm excited for because I've heard good things about this particular father-son combination who does this hay. And the local feed store that we had been getting hay from, which I don't like to buy a lot of hay. I try to make it as far as I can without getting it.
Mm-hmm.
They actually source their hay from Pennsylvania. I don't get it. They said they've had a deal with somebody up there for 20-something years. Which, hey, I mean, more power to you, you got a good deal, roll it. But we really are striving to have every single bit of our farm local.
Mm-hmm.
From the breeding to the hay to the grain to the even the chickens, even the mm-hmm. meat, the Cornish crosses that we're going to be experimenting with this year will all come from our farm.
Mm-hmm.
And if it works out, then it's like, you know, hey.
That'll be perfect.
Yeah. I mean, there's certain things like, some people do ask about, like, you know, is the feed non-GMO and all this other stuff. It's like, I can't tell you that. Well, I mean, I can tell you that the feed, even the peanuts, like, it's not non-GMO. But what I can say is that it's local. And I personally believe that GMO feed it's not all bad.
Mm-hmm.
It's like, I understand the rep with the chemicals and you know, things like that. But it's just so hard to find legit, like, GMO feed in bulk. Like, mm-hmm. It's just so, so, so hard to find it. And, you know, meat prices, you would really have to charge a lot. To, you know, break even on it. And, I mean, you know, like I said, certain GMO things, I don't think it's all bad. Like, you creating a crop that's resistant to drought, that's not bad.
Mm-hmm.
I don't agree with you creating a crop that you can just dump Roundup on,
right,
and it not be affected. But I also understand that by, you know, doing things in that nature, you preserve, you know, what, 40% of your crop that mm-hmm. that you can now protect. And it's, you know, it's to feed people. But yeah, I mean, I wish people did it a different way or the companies got out of it, but it is what it is.
Right. But I mean, what you're saying is our priority, we value more buying locally than we do like buying fully organic or non-GMO.
Right. And I mean, it's just such a hard bridge to get to the other side of things. So.
Well, and like logistically, I mean, and I'm sure that those farmers who grow those crops feel the same way. Like, you would have to charge so much more, and already, I mean, didn't you recently? Yeah, so
I've heard about one person who may have like non-GMO feed coming in, but then I also heard the prices on it, and I'm just like, cool, like, does somebody really want to pay, you know, $10 a pound for chicken? Like, yeah,
and I don't, like, it's really not that big of a deal to me. Like, we don't, other than like the, because, like you said, the issue with the non-GMO is that it's probably got, like, pesticides dumped on it. Okay, that's not great. But we also are, on our farm, we don't use chemical fertilizer. We don't do any, like, preventative, like, antibiotic stuff. Like, it's,
we only treat when there's illness.
Right, so exactly. Other than, like, down that line, I just don't think it's that big of a deal, personally, to me. But
No, I mean, yeah. So, yeah, okay.
I know. How did we get down that line?
We're just talking about how cold it was and feeding them some grain today. That's how we got in there. So, just to piggyback off of your garden episode, the only things that I felt like, I mean, I don't even feel like they were left out. They just weren't talked about.
Well, I only,
because I wasn't here.
It was a garden episode. Now we have part two, and we are.
So this year, I want to take back control over my garden.
Oh no! Okay.
Because I we don't know really what happened with our potatoes, because I feel like we had a pretty good year the one year, and then the next. Well, there
we
was
had
some
the Colorado
mixture.
Potato beetle issue.
Well, we had, yeah, but then we also had like,
oh yeah, that weird like rot. They got like a weird
right
disease.
And I've read that if that's in the soil, you know, it can take like what, 3 years to get over it. So instead of trying to press the issue again, which would then stretch it in for another 3 years, I kind of just want to be easy, and I want to just dedicate my whole little garden to just doing corn.
Okay. I bought you corn.
You bought me more corn?
Yeah, you didn't know that, but I bought you more corn, yeah.
What? Yeah, so I think I'm going to stack it up in there, and kind of, I'll probably move some dirt around, especially because I'm sure we'll get some volunteer potatoes or whatever. Yeah. But, and then, you know, also, I don't know if I really want to, we've always done the thing where we space our corn out, and I think this year, I'm just going to scratch that and just plant all my effing corn at one time.
Okay, yeah.
Different varieties, but all at one time, so that all the harvest is at once. I dedicate one weekend to it as far as harvesting it, and then we just can, or, you know, I think canning the corn would probably be better than freezing it. But I know you talked about that too, because you're afraid of botulism, but I'm not afraid of botulism. So.
Wow, you really did listen to it.
I did. Of course I did. Yeah. And so I also want to know where your Brussels sprout seeds are, because if I have one request for your springtime garden, it is to grow a butt ton of Brussels sprouts. And also the kombucha squash is not bad.
It's terrible.
And no, it tastes, it does, it, and maybe we did it wrong, but it did taste like egg yolk. But I mean, I like egg yolk. So for me, I was like, hey, this is not bad. This is good. And it's a vegetable.
That's true. Okay. Well, that's good. Yeah. I'll grow kombucha squash again. And
and the spaghetti squash. Love the spaghetti squash. So don't grow less of it, because we can use it for so many meals.
And we really didn't. I ended up feeding a lot to the animals.
I know. I saw that. But I wish that we would.
I know.
Because it's such a great substitute for pastas.
But it's not. Okay. That's where we respectfully disagree. I know that's the point of it. I know it's literally called spaghetti squash.
Literally
called
that.
No way does it really take the substitute of pasta. Like, if I eat a plate of spaghetti squash, even with, like, tomato sauce and cheese, I'm not like, wow, that could have been pasta. I'm like, that was a great vegetable.
Yeah, it's a great vegetable, but you hollow it out a little bit, like maybe halfway through, and then you can fill it up with your homemade sauce and then like deer sausage meatballs or whatever, and load that sucker up with Parmesan cheese, and you can eat out of it, and then you also have the plate over here that you hollowed it out, and you have, like, I love spaghetti squash Parmesan cheese. It's so good.
Okay, yeah, I know
we can grow it.
Yeah, as much as I grew, I know I didn't cook it that much, so okay, sounds good. I will do that for sure. And I actually just planted another round of Brussels sprouts this afternoon.
And where are they at? Because if we have one more field mouse eat our sprouts, I'm gonna lose my mind.
I know, but
it's not just us though. It's like our entire county right now is under siege by field mice. Like, everybody is talking about it.
I know. Okay, well, so I guess I'll share it on the podcast now. Man, we're gonna have to have like a part three to this. But no,
we get a whole hour. Let's go.
So in our room, I have my little seed starting area. It's like a shelf with a grow light and all that jazz. Well, a couple months ago now, I had already started some fall gardening stuff. So the broccoli and the Brussels sprouts and the spinach and all that. And a mouse that was in our house ate all of them. And I didn't mention anything because, you know, you don't like to talk about the mice in your house. But everybody
but if you
is,
live on a farm.
I know, but
during the winter.
I was listening to, oh, I can't remember her name, but a really famous YouTuber, like Whispering Willow Farm, something like that. And she talked about how that actually happened to her one time. And she was going to plant for a actual like farmer's market seedling sale. And a mouse got in their house and chomped up all of her starts. So I felt a lot of camaraderie. I was like, okay, that actually happens to people. I couldn't believe that that had happened. So it is a thing.
And we killed a mouse right next to it. Yeah, like, we did. Like, literally the next week. Yeah. So hopefully that was it. But yeah. We'll see. I mean, we do kill mice.
Yeah.
It just happens. Yeah. They also made a bunch of nests in our hay, which I like to deplete our whole hay supply before I buy new ones so that I make sure to recycle. Like, I make sure my oldest goes out before I get brand new. And, of course, when I get to the bottom, there's mice trying to make nests everywhere in the bottom, and I'm just like, it is what it is. It's, you know.
Not their house. Not their house.
Yeah. It was, you know, they have, apparently you said they have a hotel on some old cement bags that I neglected like 3 years ago.
Yeah, I can't even remember what it, I think it was probably
it's supposed to go for the skin and shed thing.
Yeah, for the skin and shed, and I don't know. Long story short, it was cement mix, but it's rained on it so much.
It's in Quikrete bags. Yeah, they just blocks the cement out there now, but they're under a tarp. And I guess that blocks enough rain that the mice and voles are like, hey, we should open up a hotel right here. We
should have a whole society down here. Yeah. Yeah. So maybe we can target that next. But
we're targeting all kinds of things now that it's April's favorite week.
You always say that. That was literally the title of one of our episodes last year.
Hunting season ended. It's April's favorite week.
It is not. It's not like that. Like, I don't not like hunting. I don't like how dedicated you are.
Right. So therefore, the first week of hunting season, you dread it, and then halfway through hunting season, you're like, "Is it over?" And then when it is over, you're like, "F yes." Hunting season's
but
over.
I definitely don't feel like that anymore because you're not like it's not like you're gonna have more time. You know what I mean? Like,
I should have some more time. I mean, I'll have more time around here now. Saturday.
But you're gonna be like doing things.
Right. It's I got a lot to do now.
The issue is I need your help to like function in this household and like clean and do things that I want to do. So it doesn't count if now instead of using your time that you use to hunt, you're out doing other things. Like, that isn't helpful.
But there are things around our house.
That's true. I mean, you know. Yeah. So hunting season is over.
For the most part.
Yeah, I know. For the most part. Oh, gosh. Anyway. So Brussels sprouts. Planted. I think I have more. I have a whole nother tray. Tonight I planted four.
Four? We need like 68.
Okay, I'll plant more.
Because if we lose them, then we have more, and then it's not a huge deal. But I feel like sometimes we underplant, or at least we don't have backups. And then if the one gets disease or a mouse eats it at like week 8 of growing, you know what I mean?
I know. But
we can always give away plants, but we can't start new ones at the get-go.
My thing is the space. Like, I have limited space, and as you know, one of my whole goals is to make sure I utilize my space better. Yeah. So that's been a drawback that I didn't talk about in my podcast episode, but I've never really done a fall garden very well because it's hard to allot enough space while also because it overlaps. Yeah. Like, it's not like once spring ends, you take it all out. Like, it goes into the summer.
Yeah.
So, I don't know. But, I mean, maybe I can prioritize. I'm going to end up scaling back my peppers so I can use some of that area. I mean,
just, you know, whatever. Whatever we can figure out.
Yeah.
I don't know. I can't grow them, so. Yeah. But I love to eat them.
Yeah. Yeah. We made some good ones the other day.
Yeah.
But that sounds good. So what did
you wanted
we
to talk about the year of view for like a year animals. Of
view. Yeah.
Yeah. So let's see. This year on the farm, we did approximately 480 meat chickens.
Oh my gosh. that's crazy.
Through our chicken tractor setup. And I would say it was mostly pretty good. Well, we have one batch that just didn't
grow well, not good batch.
I know I was pissed. Had a lot of like undersized birds in it, but
it's hard when people depend on you, you know, and you're so excited.
Well, it's hard when you put out a high quality product and then all of a sudden you have a bunch of pre-sales and whatever, and then all of a sudden one batch is just not up to your quality.
Yeah.
And gosh, we really struggled to, I think we basically stopped taking orders for that batch like immediately. And then we're really lucky because my mom loves to get the smaller size birds, and we were loaded up with smaller size birds. Yeah. And then we kept a bunch for us out of that batch too, and we parted a lot of them out for us, and and you know, we're able to recover. And
It wasn't that big of a deal in the scheme of things. Yeah, but like in the scheme of things, it wasn't that big of a deal. But it was really hard in the moment.
Well, yeah. I mean, because the birds aren't going to get bigger as you're butchering, they're not going to get bigger.
Yeah.
But I think I addressed a couple of the issues that had happened there, and I think some of it was out of our scheme of things, but other things I've addressed and fixed. Yeah. And so I kind of want to change some things going forward.
Mm-hmm.
So we did all that. We grew our flock to try to do this whole crossbreeding thing. But of course, the mixed sucky hatchery people missexed and all our stuff again.
Yeah.
So we have now officially bought, we have purchased 3 Cornish roosters from them, and we have gotten 1 Cornish rooster and somehow 2 Cornish hens, which are like impossible to get.
Yeah, which they don't sell.
Yes. So, cool. Thanks for that. So now we're still kind of at a deficiency for that because how many White Rock hens do we have that are alive?
It's a lot. So many.
I don't think one rooster is going to be able to
get
all that.
No.
And at this point, I don't think we could purchase one that would be ready in time.
No, it wouldn't. I know, they really screwed us, kind of unbeknownst to them.
Yeah.
But yeah, no, we have probably close to 20 White Rocks. Not 20, but like.
So like we should definitely probably order another dark Cornish rooster whenever it gets mature enough.
Yeah.
Probably introduce him in there earlier. So we have breasts that we did a batch of them. And I mean, from what I've seen out there, they all have blue legs. So I don't know that one that's the two that could be possibly mixed. We'll have to see what their combs are like. That's the next big thing to look at is the combs.
What's the difference in their combs? Oh, if it
because if
it
was
like
from the other rooster, he had a pea comb.
True.
And these not. So we have that rolling, and then our next plan is we know we need to order some more chicks, not that many, but we know that we need a dark Cornish rooster, and we would like to get on the list from them to get a breast, to get a rooster, so that we can get rid of this rooster, because we have his sister and then his daughters reproducing, and we don't really want to keep inbreeding.
We don't want to keep it in the family that much.
So, like, and this is a completely different hatchery, so I feel like if we got a rooster from them, it'll definitely be a different genetic line, or at least far enough away that it's so we could eat him. And you know, he's mean.
Well,
he's protective,
which is good.
And they're enclosed because we have just too many predator problems. And
yeah,
I don't know, maybe one day we'll figure out how to have it's just hard to, like, if we got a livestock guardian dog, there's so much that goes on with our neighbors next door who are complete assholes. And I could definitely see them like shooting our dog like if he was over there.
In a perfect world, we would free range the chickens, and we tried for a while, but we just kind of kept running into problem after problem after problem.
Too many issues. The neighbors have birds. They lost way more chickens than we did when the mm-hmm. foxes came in. And I think pretty much all their chickens are now also caged.
Yeah. Yeah, I think so too.
But then the other neighbor also has chickens who get out.
Yep.
And then there's the hawks that are flying around constantly. And then mm-hmm. there's the foxes that show up here and there. And
our kids are around. And that has been an issue. There's
a cat around.
There's a cat. The kids, like, that had been an issue at the tail end of when we had been free ranging, of the roosters not liking our son. Understandably. And he,
roosters are just going to be like that. But it just sucks because you want a rooster that's protective because, mm-hmm. you know, if it's nice to you, maybe it'll be nice to the cat that's coming over there to kill it, you know?
Yeah, exactly.
So, really, we need, like, I don't know. It's just impossible.
Yeah, right now, it's just not in the cards. Maybe one day we'll be able to figure it out.
The only thing I can think of, and we don't have enough land to do it, would be to build a type of eggmobile kind of thing, like Joel does. But then roll it into electric paddocks. Yeah. Now, sure, the birds are going to go through the electric. That's mm-hmm. just going to happen. We've seen them do it with this electric. But it's not so much for them as it would be to keep predators from getting
right.
in.
And they could run into it.
They could. Yeah. They could.
Like, in a good way. Like, if they, you know.
Yeah.
Yeah, that would be. But yeah, and like I had mentioned on the last podcast, it's crazy to think that really we even just started with our laying hens last year. So yeah, we went.
Must have been 2 years.
That we got them, but when they really started laying.
Oh, yeah.
So we changed our whole trajectory with the eggs too, and we started selling eggs.
Yeah.
So, which we've kind of been lax on. But,
well, yeah,
I mean,
but
we are going to be.
Use a lot of eggs.
Oh, we are going to be rolling in with all these white rocks now.
Right, but
oh,
the whole point of the white rocks is to breed.
To breed them, yeah, but we don't have enough to breed. So, like, we don't.
We have enough to breed.
We have one rooster. He can't handle 20 girls. So, do we want to waste. I mean, it's like I feel like we almost need to only keep the rooster in with. Keep.
That's what we can do. That's what we can do.
Yeah, and then the girl. So, right now we have two chicken tractors, one with the white rocks, like the original white rocks.
And they're not going to stay in there because now that hunting season's over, we're going to officially build like some kind of coops over there. And
right. Well, listen to what I'm saying. So they are split up right now into like essentially batch one and batch two.
Yeah.
I feel like we need to keep batch one together and have that one rooster that's in with them only deal with those girls so we have a higher likely of him fertilizing all those eggs. Because I feel like it's a waste to put him in with 20 girls and then we know that not all, like, I feel like that would be such a waste and have the girls, the second batch, just be layers for right now.
And another solution to one of the problems I just thought about is why don't we just take the dark Cornish rooster and the dark Cornish hen and put them in a separate place for a couple weeks.
Oh, that's true.
And then hatch out our own.
That's true.
And then sell off the hens mm-hmm. or keep the hens. I don't care what we do with them. And then, and then put him right back in with the old white, because there's no other rooster in there. So when we reintroduce him, it's not like there's going to be a big fight. Like,
true.
There's, you know,
I didn't.
And then we don't have to reintroduce the hen. We don't want to reintroduce the hen because we want to pull her out and probably put her over here into the regular hen place.
That's a good idea.
So.
Ugh, I know. Well, now we need to figure out how long it takes for them to own. Well,
it wouldn't matter.
It wouldn't matter. You're right.
It would not
matter.
Right.
It would only be to know which egg is hers.
Right.
Okay. Okay. Yeah. I'm following. I'm a little slow, but I'm following.
Exactly.
Okay.
So, yeah, that's my thought process on that. But, I mean, maybe we should wait until the other ones are already laying. So then we're mm-hmm. pulling two dark Cornish hens at once. And so we'll get a full, you know,
sure
we can at least get like 10 to 15 eggs.
Yeah. Okay. Cool. That sounds good.
Yeah.
And I'm excited for their coop to be done. I think they'll really enjoy having like a home.
They may, or they'll hate it.
Or they'll hate it. Yeah. Where they'll hate it, but whatever.
It'll stop them from laying in nowhere because we can actually build.
So a lot
of. We got three eggs out there right now, and I was just like, nope. It's too wet and raining, and I'm not picking
them
up.
Heck no, I don't blame you. Oh, I meant to. Oh, that was the one thing I forgot. I forgot to grab the eggs out of the big coop today. I meant to because it's going to be 28 tonight, so they might freeze.
They should be all right.
I don't know. Maybe. We'll see.
After this, you can go out and grab them.
Great. True.
So that's chicken stuff. So then also we had we had the growth of the lambs.
The growth of the lambs.
So we sold, how many lambs did we sell this year? Well, hang on, let me think. Sold one. Yeah, we sold four. We were going to sell five. And one died.
Yep. Randomly. We didn't talk about that either.
Yeah, I don't know what was up. I think he got grain bloat. He wasn't sick. He wasn't ill.
No, totally fine. And then
just
one
woke
day,
up one morning and I was like, hey, I think the lamb's dead.
Ugh, yeah, very sad. It's never fun.
Yeah, so we're working on genetics. We may cull two. I think it might just be one. Ends up getting culled out. Maybe not. Things could be perfectly fine. I don't know.
Pam, too?
I don't know. I can't keep track. We need to start. We need an ear tag. We need an ear tag.
I know,
these suckers.
We do. I don't want to,
officially,
but it's the only way. Yeah.
We know who our OGs are. Mm-hmm. And yeah.
All I know is Goaty and Dot. And I only know Dot because.
Oh, I can
Dot.
Look out there right now and tell you Goaty, Dot, Denise, Blacktop.
Well, obviously Blacktop.
Denise's twins, which we never named. Blacktop's twins, which we never named. Mm-hmm. I can't tell the difference between Pam 2 and
Pam 1.
Pam 1. No. Can't tell you the difference between them. They look very similar.
They look identical.
But I know that both of them are on the coal block.
Yeah. Yeah. I know. I wonder if Pam... which one had the stillborn?
We don't know. We don't know. I think Pam won.
I think Pam won.
It wasn't a stillborn, though. That lamb died from trauma.
Yeah.
Which I've given them a lot more minerals this year because I've always read that that's a selenium deficiency if they get, you know, stuck. Because it wasn't breech. It was just stuck.
Mm-hmm.
It was just stuck in the middle of the night and we never knew.
Yeah. Yeah.
Wasn't that working? Wasn't that random night shift stint at that
point? No, it was that thing where... Because you had texted me and you said you thought that she might start to be in labor.
Right, why would I text you unless it was on night shift?
Because you leave in the morning. You left in the morning because then I looked out and I saw, because I had to get the kids ready for school, and I saw her and I was like, wow, it looks like she's pushing right now, but I had to get the kids to school and I didn't go out and I regret that so much.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, she's on the watch list. But, I mean, it was a healthy big lamb. And
it was a healthy
nice
big
lamb. To keep her.
My issue is I don't think she's pregnant. I don't think she's pregnant. And I feel like that's not going to fly, unfortunately. Again, like, I don't think she's pregnant again.
I don't know why you think. We don't even know who's
who.
Because
she hasn't bagged up.
Doesn't matter. It's early for her to
but
bag up.
But I just really
it's
am hinging on, like, she
I still
should
think...
have been the first one to ovulate.
You don't know that, though, because she lambed so late. Like, even though the lamb didn't survive, she still lambed very late last year.
Yeah,
so
but,
even
like,
though
it's
she's
the,
not nursing
the,
and everything.
That, but that's the nursing is the part that delays your cycle. Like, if you don't nurse, you obviously
well,
can drop
you,
a egg.
Well, says you, the veterinarian.
Says me, the mom who tried to not get pregnant immediately after I gave birth.
I mean, I'm just saying. Like,
I know. Okay, we'll see.
And they, you know, they work in different, like, deer. If a deer doesn't get pregnant both times, like, it doesn't magically get pregnant in, like, April. It still waits until the fall before that deer get in wildlife.
But
the deer gets pregnant again.
But do sheep have a season? I thought they...
I don't think they so much have a season, but they're very closely related to deer. They're ungulates, like...
Ungulates.
So, depending on how you get them broken in, like...
Yeah.
I feel like it would be hard to switch a lamb who always lambs in the fall to now all of a sudden lamb in the spring or vice versa. So, I think it's still very... And I think that that's the... I think we were able to pull off speeding up are two of our mature or three of our more mature ewes by getting them to spark earlier with the bringing
getting
in a
new
ram.
Yeah.
But also you have to remember that that was still way early and that the plan wasn't for them to lamb way early. The plan was for them to just lamb inside of a window.
Yeah, that's true.
And to tighten up the back end of the window. So yeah. just because they land in the front end of the new window as opposed to the normal window.
Yeah, I guess I didn't think about that.
Like, because one of them, Denise, because Denise still hasn't. And she's an older, mature you.
Yeah.
But I guess because she had twins, is she the only? No, Blacktop had twins last year. Mm-hmm. So for some reason, for her, she's just now really starting to bag up.
Mm-hmm.
But she's an older, mature you. But she's still inside of her window. I think she normally lands in January.
Yeah, if I'm not too.
Or February.
I think she does February. Yeah. Because the triplets were born right around Troy's birthday.
Or they might have even been born in March.
Well, I just remember for it was like right after Troy's birthday. Yeah. I just remember something about that. But anyway.
I just remember the picture and there was a little bit of greenery in there.
Yeah, true.
So. But yeah, so there's still her and... I think one of the, like, and I think some of the yearlings are pregnant and some aren't. And that's perfectly okay. We knew that was a strategic gamble when we got it. I think we talked about it on the podcast.
Mm-hmm.
Whereas a strategic move, and I'm already seeing dividends. Okay. So we paid the money to get a great ram from a guy who ends up being a really good, I guess you just call him a business partner, really. Mm-hmm. He lives up north in Harrisonburg and I love how he does his sheep. I love being able to talk to the guy. I love the quality of the rams that we get from him. And just all around great dude. And you get what you pay for. I paid twice as much money for his as I did for basically my Craigslist stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And that's fine because it was a high quality ram and the first baby that was born here already is can't be more than 10 or 15 pounds off of one of the lambs that I just sold.
Yeah.
Like,
she's big.
Like, she's giant and she's massive, which means that come next breeding season, she's already going to be a big, healthy ewe. And I read a bunch of stuff and they were like, if you really want to start helping the genetics of your flock, invest in a good ram, which I always thought it was vice versa, like buy good ewes.
Right.
You'll get... But you can make good use off of okay use with a good ram is what essentially everybody's telling me. And then if they're a male, the ram is already going to pass down, you know, the meat growing genetics in that. And that's all you're looking for with these sheep, really. I mean, I'm looking for two or three things, really, which hopefully I start to get now. I want to see four things. I want to see good parasite resistance. I want to see minimum hoof care. I want to see good natural shedding abilities. And
the
biggest one I want is fast growing meat production.
Yeah.
Because that's what they're here for.
Yeah. Yeah.
Fast growing meat production. And that's what Brad, the guy who I get the stuff from, has really been targeting is fast growing meat production. And that's where we're at. And we spent the money and we're already seeing it in these new babies.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, very true. Oh, man. Yeah. I would love a good shedder.
Most of them shed pretty good. There's a couple. And we may end up culling them out, too. Like Denise's twins are cool and everything, but they seem like they don't shed that great.
Mm-hmm.
Blacktop's terrible at shedding.
Oh, my gosh. Poor girl.
But she produces. So I feel like it's kind of enough to keep her here.
Yeah.
But, you know, eventually not. I mean, but she'll probably be older by then, and it'll be time to move on from her anyway.
Yeah. And we probably don't want any... Are we giving up on Dorpers? I don't see a difference
in
the meat.
I'm not even convinced that is a Dorper, to be honest.
What? Really?
I'm not even... I think it could just be a Black Cantata. Although they do kind of look different. I don't know. I really don't know. There's just really no difference between Dorpers and Cantatas.
There's
Dorpers are
black.
90% are black, and Cantatas are 90% white.
Yeah.
But there's Black Cantatas.
True.
And there's white Dorpers. So...
True. Yeah.
Who knows?
Yeah. Yeah. I think we're really happy with the Katahdins, and we're going to keep that. I'm not interested in exploring. Because they also have, like, the desert sheep.
Oh, yeah.
Hair
and the
sheep.
St. Croix, too.
Yeah, but I for that, I'm
talking about the painted desert.
Yeah.
And then the St. Croix, and... I don't know. Katahdins just seem to be...
And I feel like they're all the same. Like, I think they're all the same.
They're not all the same, but I mean, you know... There's all kinds of different stuff. I mean, you could always get a wool sheep.
Heck no. Oh my gosh.
Could always get a wool sheep.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, could always. God, could you imagine? Oh man, it's hard enough keeping up with the hooves. I couldn't imagine having to shear. Yeah. Can you imagine shearing Dot?
Well, I'm gonna, on my list of things to do this winter and spring is to build a squeeze chute, and then it will no longer be an issue.
True.
Because we're very hands-off. We've talked about that before, too. We're very hands-off on our sheep. We only address things when they need to be addressed. Mm-hmm. And so, poor Goaty is, she's so drained because her baby is giant. Mm-hmm. I cannot imagine her having twins at that size.
No. Mm-mm.
Like, poor girl gets beat up every year. She bounces back good.
Yeah.
But it always just makes you worry and wonder, like, do I need a wormer? Do I need a wormer? Like, what's going on? Do I need a wormer? Yeah.
And what he means by that, she gets, like, really skinny after she gives birth. And, like, concerningly skinny.
Concerningly skinny, but she's never lethargic.
But she's done that every year. So we kind of know that's kind of what she does.
I check her eyelids the most I can and, you know, take a look at her, but... And I think I did worm her this year,
yeah,
too.
Yeah, you did.
And gave her a vitamin BD, shot.
A BD. Not a BD. B12.
And maybe I need to give her another vitamin B shot. I don't know. Vitamin B.
I think she looks good right now.
Yeah. She looks okay.
Yeah.
She doesn't look as bad as she did when I addressed it earlier. Yeah. Which I just threw everything at her real quick.
Well, it worked.
Yeah. And then, you know, as they, you know, they'll get wormed again. Probably precautionary. Yeah. I don't like to worm so much, but
well, sheep probably
after all the sheep lamb, I'll go ahead and worm them again.
Yeah.
But then also by that time, grass will be coming in and they'll be moving every single day. And so right now they're not moving every single day because I'm trying to manage the mud, which I've done a really good job, I've thought.
Yeah.
But it could be at a sacrifice for them getting a little bit of worms. You don't know. There shouldn't be that many worms on this property anyway because they've went through. Every year, the worm load is going to get less and less and less just because of the practices that we do.
Yeah.
So eventually, it probably won't be an issue at all. But everybody will tell you when they lamb, the first week after lambing is when they're most acceptable to... They could have really good parasite resistance, but after they lamb, they're very stressed and they're susceptible to worms.
Crazy.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So we've had, what, twin boys from Blacktop, a single female from Goaty, and a single female from Dot.
Yep.
So we're loading up on females again.
Yep. All girls. Yeah.
Well, two boys.
Well, yeah, but I mean, like, it feels like it's all girls all the time.
So that's the update with the lambs. We have, as you know, the registered Durocs who are getting big, really big.
Yep. Durocs are pigs.
Durocs are our piggies. We've only named one so far officially.
Yeah.
One of our breeders, anyway. We're not naming the three that are just here for meat.
To grow, yeah.
Yeah. But we named one of our breeding girls Tip.
Tip.
Because she is, I guess when she was born, she was missing the tip of one of her ears. So she's got the notches, but then in the front end of her ear, she's like, hey, where's the rest of her ear?
Yeah.
Like, but she's pretty cool. The pigs are a little more friendly to me now. Mm-hmm. Probably not so much you. But.
Well, they'll come up and be like, hey, are you going to feed us? And then, like, very quickly, they're like, nah, she's not. And then they just kind of run away. I have it on video, too. Like, they run up to me and, like, look at me and stare at me. And then when they get bored, they're like, goodbye. And they just, like, all run away.
Yeah. And I thought about some just generic name for our boar. Maybe, like, Red or Big Red.
Oh, Big Red. I don't mind that.
So his balls, you can start to see he's got balls now.
Really? I do kind of
Can kind of tell the difference now from the back end. Like, oh, that's my boar right there.
Okay. Like, I can kind of tell. It sounds weird, but I really want to look at that. And I can't describe what they looked like before. I mean, it looks...
I can get a picture of it. I can show you.
Well, yeah.
Or a picture of them, and you can like, you can be like, oh, yeah, that's... Yeah, here it is. Look.
Maybe I'll put it on the Instagram for anyone that watches today.
Okay. See how it's like fluffed up there and there? Uh-huh. It almost looks like a vagina, really.
But. Yeah, well, that's what they look like. And that's actually what I was going to say. Like, before, their ball area just did not, like, it just looks so different than any other animal that I've seen. I mean, gosh, like, with the cows and the sheep, hang low. But those, it's like little, like, vaginas on their butt.
Yeah.
And so, like, even the neutered one, I'm like, I cannot tell the difference between the neutered one and the not neutered one.
Yeah, like, so you can see him again.
But
no.
You zoom. Ew. Yeah, I'll put that on my Instagram.
Yeah. So they're doing pretty good. They're not happy today. They're, you know, pissed off. But we started doing a new technique where, and we're gonna explore this much, much more. This is the tip of the iceberg. As we move our pigs, we don't want to have that traditional, like, hey, look, there's your pig pen where it's just all mud.
Yeah.
And you never move your pigs. So we move our pigs a lot. And they've officially made it into the woods. We started them at the edge of the pasture while they were tinier. And now they're into the woods. And we went back over the areas where they were in the pasture that they... We let it kind of get, you know, a little bit muddy and a little bit tore up. And we seeded back with, it's pretty cheap, just some annual ryegrass, just to seed in there. Because ryegrass is going to grow in the winter, and they've already tilled it up for us. And we've talked about that, about being able to naturally seed things. And part of that plan that I never really thought about and delved into was the fact that, well, they're going to be turning it all into mud in the winter. Nothing's going to grow. Well, ryegrass grows in the winter.
Yeah.
So we're throwing that in there now, and we may end up spending a little bit more money to get perennial ryegrass, which is about double.
Well, my question... So what we have now is annual winter rye.
It's not winter rye. It's just annual ryegrass. Yeah.
Okay. I thought the word winter was involved, but no.
No, it's not.
Okay. Okay. That changes my...
Yeah, and like that's why they threw ryegrass over here on the farm fields. They do that all the time. It holds, that's ryegrass. Yes,
I did not know that.
That's why it grows up like that. When they get done picking the cotton or corn or soy, whatever, they'll throw the ryegrass in because it's a nitrogen fixer and it holds the soil together. It holds the soil.
Interesting. Okay.
So we've been looking at, or I've been looking at. I didn't even realize that there was a term for it, but it's called silvopasture. And typically,
Silvo, not Sildo.
You're the only one who screwed that up. You're the only one who screwed that up.
Don't Google Sildo.
So, Silvo pasture is when you grow trees in conjunction with your pastures. Like, you could even row tree it. Well, so we're kind of doing an opposite approach with the same effect where the pigs are working through our woods, they're clearing out all the shrubbery and everything. And my plan is I'm coming in behind the pigs and I'm cutting down all these smaller sapling-ish trees or trees, just immature, smaller trees, leaving big trees for the most part. Right now it's wintertime, so the canopy's really open, so I'm throwing ryegrass down in there. The ryegrass is growing.
You've already done that in there?
No, not yet, but that's the plan. That's... Now that I've seen how this is working, this is what I'm talking about doing. Because I haven't cut down the smaller trees either. And then going in there, even as the pigs move further away and their electro net is spaced out further where I can even drop some trees. I know a lot of people don't want to hear dropping trees. But we have a lot of good trees in our woods. Mm-hmm. We have some trees that I don't want in the woods, such as like, I don't want pines. Mm-hmm. Like, there's no need for me to have pines. Yeah. I can't use it for anything.
Yeah.
And all it does is make the soil acidic. So I want to eliminate, and there's hardly any of them in there now, pines, excess poplar trees, and I have to look and see what else is in there. But for the majority, what's in there is oaks, poplars, and maples. So if I eliminate pines and excess poplars, I can really open up the canopy to the point where I don't just have to seed in there ryegrass that grows just in the winter. I can seed other things that can handle lower lights.
Yeah.
Like, you know, clovers or chicory or, you know, all kinds of stuff. And essentially what I can do is I can create these silvopastures in there, and I could even buy more grazing space to bring sheep through there.
Yeah.
And then as the sheep come out, the pigs just keep... The pigs can rotate right behind them. Mm-hmm. The pigs aren't really eating the grass. Mm-hmm. But they're going to tear it all up. But when they tear it up, that helps create the biodiversity, aerates it, everything. Mm-hmm. And they, you know, eat the grubs out of it, which lets the grass grow even better because there's less grubs in it. Mm-hmm. So...
Yeah, that would be really fantastic. That's really exciting to think about.
Yeah. So they just have to keep clearing shrubs, and obviously I got to touch up, you know, get briars out, certain things. And the people who own the property before us, they dumped so much junk back there. I guess I didn't tell you. I've been pulling so much junk out of our woods that the pigs have unearthed.
Still, really?
Oh, well, we've never done it. Bicycle parts and
oh my gosh,
gutter pieces and that's so just annoying. Yeah,
we need a metal
something looks like
down
Thor's
there.
Hammer back there. I don't know what it was, but it's literally like a big piece of pipe conduit with like a giant cinder block of formed concrete on the bottom. And I'm like, I don't even know I can pick that up. So I'm gonna wait till I move the pigs before I get that out of there.
Yeah. Oh my gosh. Wow.
But yeah, all kinds of wiring, old fences, just a bunch of shit back there. Yeah.
Gosh.
And we would never do any, we never find it if it wasn't for the pigs. Yeah. Like, the pigs are just,
I hope they find cooler things.
Yeah.
Like a treasure.
Well, the neighbors told me they'll probably dig up a bunch of goat bones.
Ew. Well.
But who knows? Who knows what they'll say about us when we move, too?
Yeah. Like,
we'll see who moves first. Us or them.
I know, right? Oh, my gosh.
So, yeah. So, that's what's going on with the pigs. They're doing good.
Mm-hmm.
Very happy with them.
Yeah, I know. I'm worried about them tonight, but I'm sure they'll be fine.
They'll huddle together and, yeah.
Yeah.
Well. They're on my list of, my plan is to build in the trees that are already there to use the trees to our advantage, and we have a bunch of lumber already, and just create like canopies that are lower to the ground, so it'll just block, you know, wind and rain and stuff. And
yeah.
You know, I might course them with like putting hay in there underneath, and just every time they go to a new paddock, build one or two little areas. It's not going to cost me that much money. And then eventually I'll just have all these canopies everywhere.
I know.
So every time I move them, they'll have one.
Yeah. Yeah.
And, you know. And then my plan is to probably, I guess, have them farrow. Our breeders will farrow up in the pasture on the back end that I've been working on.
Yeah.
And so I'll build the farrowing crates or are they called crates? I don't think they're called crates at that point.
I thought farrowing pens, I thought.
No, they must be.
Farrowing huts.
No, whatever. A structure to farrow in.
Yeah.
I'll have them kind of in the pasture just so it's a little bit easier to keep an eye on them.
Yep. And farrow means have babies.
Yeah. But we got plenty of time for that.
So, and then off the bat, are we going to register all the piglets? How does that work?
No, probably not. Because we're probably just going to do a lot of them for meat.
Yeah.
Try to do all of them for meat, really. Mm-hmm. But if we do decide to sell some as a you know, a breeding thing, then what you do is you have to register the whole litter, apparently. Okay. Or something. So then you just charge the person who's buying them, like, well, it costs you this much money to get them. If you want papers, then you got to pay this extra.
Okay. Yeah, that makes sense.
So
okay,
I'll talk to my buddy Matt about all that when we get to that time.
Yeah,
he's more than willing to help.
I know. Well, this time next year, will the pig be pregnant, hopefully?
Should already have a litter before.
Really?
We should.
Hypothetically.
Hypothetically, I think the earliest that we could do them is August. They would have them
in
August. Wow,
that's crazy.
Or maybe even sooner.
That is
Matt
crazy.
Matt warned me to like wait just a little bit to let them be a year old before you let them get there. And I think that per my usual thing with the advice I get from everybody, I'm not trying to breed show quality pigs,
right?
Which is what he does.
Yeah.
And so I have one person telling me breed them as quickly as possible. I have him telling me wait longer to breed them. So I think I'll do what I normally do when people disagree and shoot right somewhere in the middle.
Yeah. Yeah.
Right somewhere in the middle. And if it costs me a piglet or two, okay. Mm-hmm. Like, you know.
Yeah.
We'll see.
Yeah.
But also what works for him might, you know, and obviously he's the expert when it comes to this, but works for him might not work perfectly for me.
Right.
Because my whole operation is outdoors for the most part. Like,
yeah.
And a lot of his operation is, as far as the babies and everything go, is indoors, secluded, protected really well. So we're a little bit opposite. I like to keep my animals the most animals they can be.
Right.
Like, look at our sheep right now. It's freezing and raining and snowing. I'm not too worried. The babies are old enough.
Mm-hmm.
So I check on them at last light. Everybody seemed fine.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Nobody was even shivering.
No, yeah.
And I read one thing that was like, when they're shivering, it's not terrible if they're shivering. Like, they will naturally shiver to
keep warm.
Body temperature yeah. up. Like, yeah. it doesn't mean that they're like, oh my God, they're shivering. They got no, when they're newborn little babies.
Yeah.
You know, that's
yeah.
different. But
yep. They're out there being sheep. The cow's definitely not happy.
Yeah. I heard him mooing.
Yeah.
During this podcast.
But... you know, he's like, come get me.
He's got plenty to eat today, unless he's bitching about water, but
I do not
there's
think
water
he's
everywhere.
Water.
So.
Ugh. Yeah. And we brought, not to totally skip around, but we had been having like 75 degree weather for like 2 weeks.
Or 75 on Saturday.
Yeah. And so we had already put our baby breasts out. I know we already talked about the breasts, but we did hatch out some, which you probably heard two podcasts ago. And they were already out in their grow out pen. But they're still pretty young. They're like a month old now. And yeah. So I had to bring them back on the porch, which doesn't sound like a lot, but it was kind of labor intensive to set up the brooder again and put the lights out and do the bedding and get a top for it because that had been the issue. They kept jumping out.
I don't think they're going to jump out.
No, not right now. And I was doing all of that in the pouring down torrential cold rain this morning. But they are all safe and sound, and they were very cold, and they hate their lives also, but they're alive.
Were they wet when you moved them?
Yeah, they were all wet. They were all soaking wet.
How were they wet? Are they retarded?
The wind, it was really windy. It was really, really
stay
windy.
Stay inside their little house.
No, well, I think because of the wind, the ramp fell down.
Okay, but so, they still have the inside area. There's the inside.
Yeah, they were. Okay, they were on the inside. They were all huddled up. Yeah.
Oh, boy.
I know.
Good thing we moved them.
Yeah. So, they're good. I moved them from the grow-out area
to the
porch.
That little kid was such a waste of money.
No, I definitely disagree. It's great for a grow-out pen.
A grow-out pen?
Yeah.
That the foxes go in there and are able to navigate into...
Well,
and
okay, that's my
rains,
run
they get
area.
Wet. And then when it's cold, they're cold and wet. I'm just saying that it hasn't been the best. It hasn't treated us the best.
Well, there was I went to Tractor Supply today, and they have a chicken coop on sale that's like twice as big, and it's like $350. I was like, we could do that, but
no, we'll just build something
and spend double the money.
But I mean, look how much money I spent to build this giant coop. But that thing's been great.
Yeah. It has. Knock on wood. Yeah, I know, knock on wood.
Knock on wood, yeah. And then when it falls down, I'm just going to take the legs off of it and put it right back down. Because even if that Joker falls, like, the thing got a home quality roof on it. I built that roof like a house.
Yeah. Oh, my gosh. Yeah. And last year was the first year that we rotationally grazed. So how did that go?
It went good. It's definitely work.
Yeah.
And I'll probably snag even more and more fences this year and spend more money on that. Mm-hmm. But, I mean, I liked it. Mm-hmm. The only thing that I would change about it is probably buy an even bigger electric box, since we use electronet strands instead of single wire or double wire, all that stuff. So I might buy another. I don't know. I probably won't buy another box yet, but I will buy more strands of electronet fencing, because I would really like to be able to just be set up to run so many, like 2 weeks worth of moves at once, and then maybe every week pull out where we've moved.
Yeah.
And move it, if that makes sense.
Yeah,
like,
yeah.
That would be phenomenal.
Yeah.
But we just need more fencing.
Mm-hmm.
I forget how many we have right now.
It feels like a lot.
We have a lot of strains. We're running two boxes.
Yeah.
Right now. And, yeah.
And usually you have it set up, like, one in advance. So you have, like, where they are now, and then usually you have kind of...
During the summer, I always do.
Yeah.
I try to always
like, the
do.
Next area kind of ready...
but right now we're not moving them we're not moving them very much.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah. And their next, I always get nervous when you have to move them across the driveway. I always feel like they're going to go rogue.
I don't right now. They would run to that grain bucket so
true.
Hard. But normally I'm able to at least set it up towards like, it appears to be set.
Yeah.
So they won't go anywhere.
Well, I think, is that all of our accomplishments for the year? Farm-wise?
I mean, pretty much, I guess.
I feel like we did a lot. I feel like we met all our goals.
We met all our goals, for sure.
Yeah.
Yeah, and then some.
Yeah.
Next year, the two biggest goals were, we're already halfway there. Well, we talked about we wanted to have pigs by the end of the year, and we did. Yeah. We hit that. So, I mean, the easy goal to talk about next year is turkeys.
Oh,
yeah. We will be having Thanksgiving turkeys. They'll be ready for Thanksgiving.
Yeah.
100%. Other than that, the goal is just to continue building on with the pig genetics. See how the experiments go with Cornish crosses of our own variety. See how we can do breast chickens by ourselves, how long they take, quality of the meat, if there's a big difference or not, is it worth it?
Yeah.
And, other than that, the most cows we can do and the most sheep we can do.
Yeah, I made an Instagram post the other day about how for this year, last year was like all new things. We tried so many new things, and this year it's going to be more, other than the turkeys, not really doing new things, just kind of doing more of the things we tried last year.
Yeah, and some differences.
Differences,
for sure.
Yeah.
I don't know. Well, it's almost time to talk about if you're interested in getting... Well, I guess it's really kind of... Yeah. I guess I can't really say that. I was going to say if they're interested in getting some chicks.
Oh, yeah.
Let us know. But, I mean, our rooster selection, it's...
I know we don't have a good... I mean, we do. We have, like, almost
we,
two
we have
good
a,
roosters.
We have what we want.
We have what we want.
But, yeah, we can't be like, yeah, if you want Easter eggers or this kind of... Like, if you want something that's going to be a mix between a breast and...
Oh, hey, no. We have that black copper Moran rooster.
We do. But we only have one black copper Moran.
Yeah.
And one cuckoo Moran.
We have two... No, you're right. We have one cuckoo Moran.
And one black copper Moran.
And one black copper Moran.
And then one black copper Moran rooster.
And one, yeah.
We're not even supposed to have that.
No, no. I had tried to, again, get two hens, and they sent me one rooster. I can't believe, for people
well,
who
do all we
that,
do, all we do is we pick at some time when we're bored or whatever, we separate the rooster with those two black copper, and we do a whole batch.
Yeah.
Of specialty Morans,
I know.
Essentially.
Which I think people, there will be a market for that. People love black copper Morans.
Yeah, but this would be, you could get a black copper Moran, or you could get a half black copper Moran, half cuckoo Moran.
Oh, yeah, that's true. Yeah, well, the eggs should look a lot different. Like, we should be able...
Once they hatch, the chicks run around everywhere in the incubator, and you can't ever separate them again.
That's true, and they do look like... Okay, I see what you're saying. True, true.
Or you can put one in one incubator and one in the other.
Yeah. We'll see. We'll see. We'll see. Well, we can market it as just like dark egg layers.
Oh, yeah. They would be Morans.
Morans, like, and dark egg. Like, it'll either be. Because our.
And that way you could get you keep however many hens you want out of it.
True.
Somewhat.
Yeah. Somewhat. I know. Now we are overloaded with eggs. Oh, my gosh. We are going to have to up our
sales.
Sales.
Fine.
Yeah.
That's fine, though.
Yeah.
I could sell a lot more eggs. I just choose, like, I was selling eggs a lot.
Yeah.
During the summer.
Yeah. I know. We'll have to, like, actually make, like, a real list and stuff.
Yeah.
Of, like, customers. Because we are, oh, my God, thinking about... And we might have to sell them unwashed, because I can't imagine washing all these.
Sometimes I sell them unwashed to people.
Yeah. People who understand and know.
Well, I... Well,
could you imagine
and I try
getting
not to
my
give them
mom
the,
unwashed
I
eggs?
I just try not to give them the dirtiest ones either.
Yeah. Which, lately, they've been great. Like, with these most recent ones, we wouldn't even have to really wash them at all.
Yeah.
But, yeah, well, I am really tired, and I want to go to bed now.
Okay, well, you go to bed. I'm going to go take some shots and probably play some video games.